of the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. A few of the stories we'll begin with tonight. Miami is actively advertising for homosexual tourists. A Fox newscaster today was wearing a cross around her neck. A cross. You know, a Christian cross. Wearing a cross during the newscast. Sitting at the news anchor desk wearing a cross. Man. A retired military guy from Texas called in off the air to say that Jane Fonda should be tried like Johnny Ben Walker. Jihad Johnny Ben Walker Black. And how about the group in Massachusetts, the cult that is denying medical care to children, and so they are in trouble with the law as one or more children have died. And what else have we got here? Oh, yeah, an update on the stories from last night about homosexual priests in the Roman Catholic Church molesting children. This news is mailed to me, not even emailed, but mailed to me from the Indianapolis Star. And this right here it is, proof that I have it. Hear that? That's proof that I have it. About the Catholic Church in Ireland paying $110 million to compensate victims of sexual molestation from its priests and brothers. $110 million. And we have, as a result of these shows, we now have the name, address, and phone number of a priest in Indiana who is a sexual predator molesting boys in his diocese, and he doesn't know that anybody knows other than him and his victims. Well, he knows that that some of the hierarchy in the diocese knew. So a homosexual priest in the Indianapolis area, we'll be letting you know more about him. Oh, yeah, and Paul McGuire. Have you heard of the Christian talk show host Paul McGuire? I think his show is out of L.A., and I was a caller on the show today. Somebody from Las Vegas called in and said that they were a member of Denver Bible Church. And I thought, Denver Bible Church in Las Vegas? Boy, that's some commute. He'd win the most Krispy Kreme donuts for the longest commute. But anyway, he called the NIV Bible on this radio show that airs around the country. He called it the NIV. He called it the HIV because of their gender-neutral version that they're putting out. And so the producer decided to take my call as the pastor of Denver Bible Church because we had some background information on the homosexuals who were on the translation team of the NIV. All right, so that's some of the news we want to start with today. And our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. The news out today, Miami is actively advertising for homosexual tourists. Just another reason to avoid Florida. So add that to Key West's reputation that you can't swing a dead cat in Key West without hitting a homosexual. And add that to Orlando's reputation, well, to Disney's longtime anti-family, pro-homosexual, pro-child sex stance. And now we have reasons to avoid vacationing in Florida from Central Florida through the Keys, through the Florida Keys. The Miami tourism official who appeared on newscast tonight did not, he did not manage to conceal his own sexual orientation. And he said, every sexual orientation is welcome in Dade County. Everyone. So, and O'Reilly who interviewed this guy, he said, I think I got his quote verbatim. He said, "We all know that Miami is a haven for gay tourists, and there's nothing wrong with that." O'Reilly said that. There's nothing wrong with Miami being a haven for gay tourists. But O'Reilly tries to appeal to his conservative audience while he constantly says that it's fine to be homosexual and everything, it's all peachy keen, but don't you think some families might be a little grossed out? He didn't say grossed out. He said maybe they'd reconsider going back to Miami if they see two scantily clad homos on the beach. Well, he didn't say homos, but men on the beach holding hands. And the homosexual from Miami's tourism board said, "Oh, I would hope you would be more open-minded, Mr. O'Reilly." Oh, brother. Why can't homosexuals speak right? Unless they're newscasters, a homosexual newscaster speaks normally. But so many other homosexuals, why do they talk with a lisp? Why can't they just speak? When they call into this show, you know, quite often, back when we had a larger audience, now we're regrowing our audience because we just relaunched Bob Enyart Live on the radio after a few years of being off the air. So it takes time. Like we went down through Capitol Hill in Denver a few weeks ago, Jason Troyer, Doug McBurney, and I, and we put out a few hundred flyers on cars and around Queen Supers. You know Queen Supers? Yeah, I'm asking my studio audience here. King Supers is owned by Kroger's, right? Huge grocery store chain in the country. Well, that's King Supers. Well, in the homosexual part of Denver, right near the Capitol Hill area, the King Supers there, for 15 years, it's been known as Queen Supers. And so we distributed these flyers all around there telling people, Bob Enyart Live is on the air and call in, talk about gay and lesbian issues. So hopefully we'll start reaching out to the Denver homosexual community once again. But all right. So but back when we had more liberals calling in, nowadays we have to ask our audience members, if you know any liberals, invite them to call into the show. On whatever issue they want to. If they're liberal, let them call into the show and we'll correct them. On whatever issue, it doesn't matter. Okay, so anyway, homosexuals would call in and they'd start out talking normally and then they'd get into an argument and they'd start with the phony homo lisp. We'd say, "Now talk like a man or we're going to hang up on you because the audience is getting sick."
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to kgov.com.
All right. Welcome back. Bob Benyart Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. You can also instant message us at kgovlive@aol.com or email us at kgovlive@aol.com. But right now, if you wanted to call in right now, right at this very moment, you'd have to dial 1-888-NYART. Sometimes 800, sometimes 888. Depending on what lines are being used by callers or by our staff. All right, so that's the Miami story. And now on to Fox News. A Fox newscaster this morning. I don't know the names of all the newscasters. And I was working with the sound off. And we're getting our Romans Bible study tapes, the first tapes, out to the people who order the monthly Bible study tapes in the book of Romans now. And I see, and I think her first name is Bridget. I'm sure it's Bridget somebody or other on Fox News. Maybe somebody out there knows and could instant message me. But Bridget was wearing a cross around her neck. Now, that's just startling. That's absolutely startling information. A cross around her neck? You know that this was an upper management decision. I don't think they let her do that. I don't think she asked to do that. I think they suggested it to her. So what do you think of doing this? You know, there might be a bonus for you in it come Christmas time if you wear a cross. You know, Fox News, they're working to increase ratings, and they're trying to appeal to religious conservatives. So that's probably why they have all those sexy newscasters and the repeated airing of seductive supposed news footage and nominally conservative hosts. And now today, Bridget wears a cross. Wow. On Rupert Murdoch's network, no less. Now, Murdoch, he's one of those, obviously he's a big news media guy. He's one of the big porn peddlers in the world, isn't he? Yeah, he runs one of the biggest porn sites on the web. And then in the same hour, it was 11 a.m. Eastern time today. In the same hour, the male newscaster said, thank goodness for something. He said, thank goodness. I saw it on the closed caption. And I thought, goodness? How do you thank goodness? What does that mean? Thank goodness. Can't quite say thank God. So thank goodness. That's about as close as we've got. Okay, let's go to Springfield, Massachusetts. Jack, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good, good. You know, I ran across some IRS contracts a while back.
Yeah.
And I analyzed them, it appears that the IRS...
They bought a bunch of handguns.
Yeah, well, they did more than that.
Yeah, I think I've seen the same report you're referring to.
And it seems that so many of these socialist programs, the homosexual programs... are being funded by the taxpayer.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And in general, so when I see some IRS contracts for goods and services that will be used against the American people in very, very much the same way that a small army might go up against a nation surreptitiously. You know, there's one paragraph in this that I thought I might read to you very quickly, if I may.
All right.
The money being extracted from the American people is being used to improve those very methods of extraction. Mm-hmm. It's a vicious circle that feeds on itself. Related to asset forfeiture is the contract, page 6, entitled Audit of Asset Forfeiture Fund. The cost of that internal audit is $1 million. The fund itself must be considerably more than $1 million. Otherwise, why spend that amount of money to audit the fund? The more important question is, however, what is the nature of this so-called fund? The source of the fund is probably self-explanatory in the name of the fund. The source is the seized assets of Americans. As a fund, it is a source of supply, a stock of ready cash set aside for internal use of the IRS. The control on those funds outside of the IRS would be very limited or non-existent. In effect, the fund becomes, for the IRS bureaucracy, a slush fund to be used at the discretion of those in power. The seizure of assets is profitable to the IRS in its continued growth and expansion. Those seizures and the fund are the definition of a police state. They are the mechanics of a police state. All totalitarian police states feed off their host. And these contracts are for billions, with a B, billions. And there's dozens of them for hundreds of millions, several for...
All right, Jack.
Yes.
Okay, so you've tuned into this show for some time. You know that the IRS should be abolished. And we state that on this program, it's wrong. Innocent until proven guilty, which is a criminal justice principle laid out by God in the Bible, is stood on its head by the IRS, in which you are guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent.
Right.
So that's wrong. And, you know, Jesus didn't have any love for the tax collectors, as far as we can tell. He lumped them in with the worst of criminals. And we don't like tax collectors today. And there shouldn't be tax collectors. You have judges and law enforcement officers and investigators, but they don't go down a list of everybody who lives on your block and every year consider whether to investigate you to see if you've kidnapped anyone or murdered anyone or assaulted anyone or stolen anything. If there's evidence of a crime, then it somehow percolates upward and then it's investigated. And that's how taxation should work. There should be no IRS. The IRS should be abolished.
Is the IRS a collection agency for the Federal Reserve Corporation?
Well, it's a collection agency for the federal government. What percentage of income... The federal government's income, you have any idea what percentage comes from income tax?
I don't know.
It's almost exactly half. About half of all the money the federal government gets is from the income tax. And so the federal government has a huge interest in seeing that as much income tax as possible be collected. About 10% of federal revenue comes from corporate taxes. Corporate taxes should be abolished also because people own corporations. So why tax ourselves twice? Why complicate it?
Well, that's true. And when you tax a corporation, you really don't tax it. That's a hidden tax on the people.
Right, of course.
That cost to the corporation is simply passed down to the people in the cost of the product.
Of course. So let's just have a very clear one single tax so everybody knows exactly what the tax is. The IRS should be abolished. But I don't think we need to make the IRS into a boogeyman beyond what it is. It's wrong that it exists. It should be abolished. But I don't think that the IRS agents are going to form into regiments and come down our neighborhoods with guns and line us up and shoot us.
Oh, I think they will. You resist
Jack,
the IRS?
Jack,
you
please.
You don't pay taxes? They will.
Jack, come on. Come on, Jack. See, you go from a reasonable concern about wrongdoing in the government to orbiting out beyond the ozone layer somewhere.
Okay, now, I think that what I said is true. I think that they will come after you. I think that you by law, you must pay these taxes, regardless of how extreme they are.
Even though the taxes are inherently criminal.
Right.
You have to pay it. Otherwise, they'll come and get you.
Right.
And when they come and get you, they will use the force of law, which means guns and jail cells, if you don't pay your taxes. They will do that.
Right. And, you know, the Nazis used the force of law, too.
Well, every government in the world uses the force of law.
I mean, just because something is law doesn't make it right or good.
Exactly. That's exactly right. But... So the taxation is wrong, and the IRS should be abolished.
Right.
But what's the big concern if IRS agents have guns? I want everybody to have guns.
Oh, it's more than just guns. I'm talking about billions of dollars. worth of what amounts to what would supply a small army.
No, I disagree with that.
Have you read the contracts and the
I looked at it and it all looked it's not a concern. The IRS is not going to become an army that's going. What do you think, they're going to surround your neighborhood?
No,
is that
what
you think? Are they going to come up? Are they form a beachhead in Massachusetts?
Well, you know, the Gestapo didn't surround neighborhoods. They simply went in, at 1 o'clock in the morning and took you out one at a time.
Right, but they could do that now. They don't need a single handgun. They just have the police do it. So it's like.
So why are they arming themselves to the teeth then? To the tune of billions of dollars.
We just had a letter from a U.S. postal inspector. And just a week ago, and he said, finally, they've gotten rid of their own self-imposed restriction, and they're encouraged to carry weapons aboard aircraft. And that's good. We want government officials to be armed on airplanes.
That's true.
As a deterrent for criminals. So if somebody is primarily a postal inspector looking for mail fraud, but he's an American in good standing, and he's got a weapon on an airplane, boy, that makes me happy. I feel much safer on that airplane. And so if they're valid government functions, then praise the Lord, let them be armed. But the IRS is invalid. Of course, George W. Bush doesn't know that, and the Republicans don't know that. Most conservative Christians don't know that. But the IRS should be abolished. But focusing on the guns that they have is not going to help you ever go toward that end.
Well, I mean, this is just one of the things that we need to focus on. Did you hear Dick Armey yesterday discussing what he sees going on in this country? Now, I was absolutely amazed that someone like Dick Armey from Texas, who is always soft-spoken and spoken and very moderate, basically said we're living in a police state. He said you get up in the morning and you're being surveilled. You're surveilled wherever you go. There are cameras everywhere. He was describing a police state.
Well, there are not cameras everywhere.
Okay, literally not everywhere.
Well, but no, where I go everywhere.
They're in the shopping center.
In my life.
They're on the streets. They're on the highway.
The government doesn't watch me as I go about my business in my life. When I go to the bank, when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the bookstore, I take my family skiing. The government doesn't watch me going any of those places.
The cameras watch you.
What cameras?
There's cameras on the highways, cameras on the streets, cameras.
Well,
if
they're going to be watching me, right?
Right.
Well, there's 260 million of me out there.
Right.
So how many people does it take to watch, let's say, half of us? You'd have to have full-time half of the country watching the other half.
Right.
That's not happening.
Well, I mean,
so I call that paranoia, Jack.
What are all of these cameras?
What cameras? What cameras?
Cameras on the streets, cameras on the highways, cameras in the malls, cameras at the shopping marts. In the schools, cameras in the high schools.
If I ran a school or a shopping center, a retail business in America, you better believe that I would install security cameras.
We
live in a criminal society. You need cameras to document what's going on and so that your patrons feel safer. I like cameras.
I want things
documented.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think that we have become a police state.
You don't want malls. You don't want a store, let's say a bank, to have cameras in there?
Oh, I think a bank, maybe a bank.
Well, any business owner has a right. If it's a liquor store, a 7-Eleven, they want to put cameras in.
Well, the proliferation of
don't you prefer
of police state surveillance.
I got to take a break. I prefer a 7-Eleven with a camera.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
You must be them NYOC people. Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart. So if you could give me a buzz, my name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website. And then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times. And, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart.
Welcome back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. During the break, we got a call. Somebody doesn't want to go on the air. We get a lot of these. We get a lot of the introverts, I mean, who want to say something but don't want to go on the air. And it's one of those TV shows with the incredible video or wild, whatever, outrageous video. And it was in a country in Europe where the police had a camera at an intersection, and this guy saw that the camera could see right into his flat, his apartment. And so he got a very realistic looking alien costume and started walking around in the middle of the night with the alien costume, and the police were out in force investigating the alien. That's pretty funny. That's a funny story. I like that. And, of course, the police should not set up a surveillance where they could look into someone's home, somebody who's not suspected of being a criminal. Okay. Now, let me finish the point. Now, Jack hung up. Jack, thank you for your call. The point that I much prefer a 7-Eleven with a camera in it. I prefer a bank with a camera, and a bank is no more precious a business than any other business. If a guy runs a jewelry store, a dear friend of mine runs a liquor store, and he's been held up a couple times, well, attempted. You know, when you grab your 45 from under the counter and point it at the guy, then that tends to turn things in your favor. And so I don't think he's ever actually been successfully held up. But you got a camera in there. That's good. We live in a criminal society. I'm all for cameras. There are cameras all around, and they're increasing in number. And many of them are broadcasting live to some webpage somewhere. And fine. Fine. What's wrong with security cameras? Doesn't bother me at all. I like it. The police, it seems to me that they should have a lot more of those in airports, and that we should have this face recognition technology functioning so that we can look for terrorists. All right, now I have an instant message here. Let me go to the instant message at kgovlive@aol.com. And said, Bob, why do you want to keep feeding the monster, which is the IRS, and on the other hand, do away with it? Okay. I'm not sure what that means. Why do you want to keep feeding the monster, which is the IRS, and on the other hand, do away with it? I only want to do away with it. I want to defund it, do away with it. That's all. That's all I want to do is abolish the IRS. But I'm not going to suggest that the IRS is going to invade one of our communities, that they're building an army. They're not building an army. They're tax collectors. And tax collecting is an ugly business. Jesus didn't like it, so all right. So the instant message, why do you want to keep feeding the monster, which is the IRS? Oh, I'd like to abolish the IRS. And the instant message says, well, then stop paying taxes. Well, I'd rather not send my family to the poorhouse and lose our family home and lose our ministry, talk show hosts, and my freedom to pastor a church. So you got to choose your battles, and I'll pay the taxes, as few as I can possibly get away with paying, in order to continue to function in American society, why I advocate lowering taxes to a flat tax of 5%. Okay, now let's go to the phones. In South Bend, Indiana, Craig, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I had heard this, and I wanted to know if you had heard this or if it actually is true. I hadn't actually heard it on the news, but a friend of mine mentioned this to me, that in California, of all places, a felon in the state penitentiary there had been given a heart transplant above. I mean, he had to wait on the list and was given it over and above other people that had been waiting for years. Apparently they had interviewed a couple who didn't have enough insurance or didn't have insurance to pay for a heart transplant, so they spent like a year raising money and trying to raise funds for this, and then this felon doesn't pay anything and gets a heart transplant before this guy was able to get one.
Now, there's a couple things going on here.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled you called in with this. What is, did the couple raise enough money for the heart transplant?
Yes, they did, and they were on the list. Actually, they had just gotten on there.
All right. And the guy in jail, do you know what crime he committed?
No, and this is kind of, I hate to say it's hearsay, but I haven't actually seen the program. Friend of mine saw the program on TV.
Yeah, but it's not the kind of thing that we need somebody to go under oath with, right? It sounds, if you didn't hear the story, you could predict it.
Right. Yeah, this is true.
Right. You can predict it in our society because we no longer have a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Yeah, so the comment of the guy was like, well, you know, I should have went out and committed some kind of crime, and then I could have the government pay for the whole thing, and I wouldn't have to pay a dime. I just had to serve a little time.
Hey, I've done about 6 months in Denver jails mostly.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got guys who go in every winter, come late fall, they commit a crime, whether they throw a brick through a window or scratch a cop car or whatever.
Yeah.
And they intentionally get convicted. They get 3 to 6 months in jail.
I can believe that.
And they go into jail, and so they pass the cold winter months in jail, where they get cable TV and soft porn movies and Playboy and Penthouse and the jail commissary and all the food you could possibly eat in Denver County Jail. You get more gourmet food up in Boulder County Jail, but more quantity in Denver.
Yeah.
And right, that guy could have committed a crime and maybe got a heart transplant.
Yeah.
It's absurd, of course.
Yeah.
The government spends so much money in medical care for prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
Medical care is one huge boondoggle, and what a disaster in prisons. God never authorized the formation of prisons.
Yeah, you can definitely see it in this.
Only death penalty, corporal punishment, and capital punishment. That's it. For public school teachers listening, I won't even tell you what corporal punishment is. And When you lock up 2 million people, you realize the medical and health care concerns? When I was in jail, the guys in there with their medical problems, whether they're making it up or not, it just boggles your mind. And then you got to deal with it. The jailers, they got to deal with it. What a mess.
I'm sure it's just ludicrous.
Oh, it's ludicrous. And you got guys, you know, half of them are faking it. The other half are hypochondriacs. But then once in a while, you get somebody who's really sick.
I can believe that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a joke. And jail is a school for criminals, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Craig?
No, I just wanted to call and see if you'd heard that or just kind of comment on that. And maybe it'll spark someone else to comment on it. Let me ask
you a question.
Yeah.
What if that couple, let's say they didn't have any wealthy friends,
mm-hmm.
and he needed a heart transplant, and they couldn't get the money.
Mm-hmm.
Should the government come through and fund it for them?
No, they shouldn't.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, obviously.
I agree with you, but why shouldn't the government fund it?
Well, for one, it's not their responsibility. That's the responsibility that the church has to provide for those that are in need and to reach out and to help those that have situations like that. But,
well, let me ask you a question then.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not the government's responsibility. And when the government takes responsibility that it doesn't rightly have,
mm-hmm.
then it relinquishes others of their responsibility. And by doing that, you make people irresponsible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If the government decided to change all dirty diapers in the country, then it would make young moms irresponsible.
Yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, and they would expect that the government, why does my baby have diaper rash? It's the government's fault.
Yeah.
So if kids don't know how to read by the time they're 12, it's the government's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
So when the government takes responsibility to educate our kids, then people relinquish that and they become irresponsible.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the same thing with health care. If the government is going to provide for the health care, let's say for poor families,
mm-hmm.
then it makes them irresponsible and they don't have the motivation they need to get out of poverty so they can take care of their own kids.
Right.
And so then generation after generation get condemned and enslaved by their own laziness,
right.
because the government entices them to slothfulness. So that's a huge problem.
Yep.
But could I challenge what you said about the church?
Yeah, how's that?
Well, I pastor Denver Bible Church.
Okay.
Let's say a 60-year-old woman living right next door to our church, and she needs a heart transplant.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes and asks us to help her with that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any obligation to help her with that?
I would say you have an obligation to try to give her ways or give her some kind of means.
We'll be right back.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and called people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23? Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christ-like, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. and always easy to understand and clear-thinking Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
Just got an email about Jewish customs. What do the Jews do if they don't have a temple or a priesthood to get their sins forgiven? Good question. I'll respond to that after the show via email. But let's get back to Craig, and then we'll go to Jim in Indiana. So, Craig. You there, Craig?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah, we ran out of time as you were answering, but the Apostle Paul writes in the New Testament that a church should provide for one of its members if she's a widow, only if she meets very stringent requirements. The average widow who's a member of a Christian church should not be provided for by the church, according to Paul, only if she meets the most strict requirements, like she has to be over 60 years of age. Back then, very few made it that old.
Right.
She has to have had a good Christian testimony all her life. She has to have no family members that can provide for her.
Hmm.
And the reason Paul would say that, if you read 1 Timothy, for example, is that otherwise her family, if a church provided for a widow as a general rule, then it would make the widow's family irresponsible because they have an obligation to provide for her.
Huh.
And so if she has a family, the church cannot help, because if they do, they'll destroy her family. And what widow would care more about herself than her own family?
Right.
So if she has a good Christian testimony, she'll understand the hardship that the church refuses to help her because her family must.
Huh, and that's in Timothy?
That's in Timothy.
Wow.
I think chapter 5.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the same thing with neighbors. The church is not, you know, it's not a social welfare entity.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are people with needs, financial needs for health care or whatever, then individuals in the church, if they're moved to, and if it's a wise thing to do, then sure, they could help. But I've got friends with money, and I've talked to friends like this for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing that rings true, it's very difficult to actually help someone with money. When you give people money, more often you hurt them than help them.
I can believe that.
More often. It's very hard to help somebody by giving them money.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. Give them a job.
Pardon?
Give them a job.
Yeah,
But watch out when you give them money.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Craig.
Hey, thanks, Bob.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
Okay, now we go to Indiana. Jim, speak your mind.
Yeah, I was wanting to tell you about a thing I seen on PBS the other day. They had a clip of Richard Nixon in black and white. It must have been in the 50s or 40s in front of Congress, and he was asking for a one world government run by the United Nations, and for all the countries to give up their weapons. And I was wondering how he ever got to be president after standing up in front of Congress, and it must have been filmed on television, to saying something like that.
Jim, we have had so many governing officials who have supported the United Nations in their dream of a one-world government and disarming the nations of the world and erasing the national borders. And so the United Nations is inherently a threat to American sovereignty. And yet from George W. Bush on down, our government leaders like the IRS, the United Nations. We call them the UN, the UN. Just call them the UN for short. And George W. Bush likes the UN.
And then I was reading another thing about President Kennedy made an executive order for us to shrink down our military and build up the United Nations. And I thought that kind of odd, too, that I'd never heard nothing like that before, neither.
Well, in my experience, in my reading over the last quarter of a century, what I've seen is that's somewhat of a standard attitude by Republicans and Democrats.
The average American don't know that stuff.
The average American wouldn't care if he heard it. He wouldn't know to get upset about it. If he heard Phil Donahue or whoever talking about it on the news for 2 minutes, he could be persuaded. Oh, yeah, that would make a lot of sense. Take away all the weapons in the world and just let the UN have a peacekeeping force. That wicked idea is appealing to most Americans. They don't know.
Crazy.
The majority is mindless.
Yeah, it's like the Romans used to think if they feed and keep everybody drunk, the crowds, they were in power.
Yeah, well, that's true. And if Hollywood keeps putting out sexually immoral entertainment, people are... You know why so many people... Why did so many approve of Bill Clinton? Because
that's one that stuns me.
Well, let me tell you why. Bill Clinton was a lying fornicator, and lying fornicators felt good when compared to him.
Yeah.
So our nation is filled with lying fornicators. They kill their children. They promote homosexuality. I'm talking about abortion. And they're drunkards and drug addicts, and they defend their immorality and their hatred of God, and they believe they've evolved from animals. That's our American culture.
I was reading a story about Houston, Texas the other day.
Yeah.
And it said that the homosexuals with the homosexual agenda got in the city and voted a bunch of homosexual laws, and one preacher got up and started a fight against it and got the general public to vote against it, and they all voted them thousands to one when the general public got aware of what was happening and started getting in on it.
And
before that, it was just the homosexual community, and the regular citizens didn't pay no attention.
Yeah, but regular citizens real easily become pro-homosexual in a heartbeat. Regular citizens, many of them, they don't want to see two guys... They don't want to see two guys kissing in a restaurant, but the average American is very defensive of homosexual rights, that homosexuals have the right to be homosexual, the right to housing, the right to a job, the right to be together, the right to be homosexual. You go to a high school, Jim, if you go to a high school or a college and you say that homosexuality is wrong, if you try that, have you done that?
No.
Okay, I've done it at high schools and colleges plenty of times. If you say that homosexuality is wrong, you will feel that your life is threatened.
Well,
you'll be happy when the police come running to break up the melee, because you'll feel that the police are going to save your life. Because
I do construction. And I was working on that football stadium in Notre Dame a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And they got a strong thing where everybody's got to wear a hard hat in there. And this priest come in with three friends of his, and they didn't have to wear hard hats.
Mm.
And they come over by where we were working, and you could tell all three of his friends were homosexuals by the way they were talking. And it just struck me funny that a so-called Christian entity with a priest would all be homosexual and talking provocative right in front of everybody, you know.
Well, remember, not only priests, we know there's, you know, thousands of homosexual priests, but how about the remember the PTL club with Jim Baker?
Yeah,
I have a dear friend, I haven't seen her in some years now, maybe 5 years, but she was the receptionist. He built his PTL headquarters, vacation land, whatever it was, and he had restaurants in there and hotels and all kinds of entertainment, and she was the receptionist in the nice restaurant he built there, Jim Baker did, and he also had a beauty salon, hair salon, and the guys who worked at the hair salon, she could tell from going in there, they were homosexuals. That surprised her a little bit. And then I went to Israel with this woman, my wife and I, a few years back, and she's a neat Christian woman, and she eventually left Jim Baker's ministry. But she said that she was in utter shock when Jim Baker would meet at night in the restaurant and sit in a quiet, dark table in the corner with the beauty stylist, the homosexuals who cut hair. Night after night, sometimes 3, 4, 5 nights a week, he would sit for hours with these beauty salon haircutters. I don't know what you call those guys who do that. Strange. But he would sit with them, and she realized he must be a homosexual because he's at the head of a national Christian ministry, and yet he finds hours 4 nights out of the week to sit in a dark corner and eat and drink with homosexuals?
That show you were on the other day called Unraveling the New World Order?
Yeah.
They had a show on last week that was talking about how communist organizations and different organizations buy out Christian book publishing and different Christian things. And then some of these big Christian organizations are owned by other people that don't believe like us, and they're trying to change society.
Most of the largest Christian publishing houses, print and music, are owned by the filthy, secular, pagan publishing world. And the same people that promote Britney Spears promote, what's the name of some of the Christian rock bands these days? POD or whatever. And so, yeah, it's a real disaster, Jim. Hey, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Jim. Neat guy. So a retired military man called in from Texas saying that, hey, if we're trying Jihad Johnny Ben Walker Black, then we should also try Jane Fonda for sitting on that anti-aircraft gun and encouraging the North Vietnamese to shoot down Americans. Amen to that. Even if she did become a Christian, she should be held accountable for her treason. Now, you got treason there. We got more than two witnesses, as the Constitution requires. Hey, Paul McGuire out of L.A. on his syndicated radio show today, I got to call in and tell him about the homosexuals on the translation committee for the HIV Bible. I mean the NIV Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, where the guy in charge of the Old Testament translation of the HIV, he was a homosexual, the head of the Old Testament committee. And in Deuteronomy 22, the NIV says that if a man rapes a woman, she should be forced to marry him. Now, that's pretty sick, isn't it? And that discredits the entire Bible. It undermines the sexual morality of the Mosaic law. And isn't that exactly, if there was a hidden agenda by homosexual translators, isn't that exactly what they would want to do? And they did it with the NIV, making God's law look irrelevant because of how corrupt, how they mistranslated it. And it should be that the man seduced the woman, so they fornicated, and God says they should get married. Generally, as a general rule. People have sex before marriage, they should get married as a general rule. Hey, this is Bob and Yart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.